Exactly required foodstuffs. Samvivesha.
Samvivesha.
The breath. The breath. Gata Klama. Freed from all fatigue.
Freed from all fatigue.
As I had after this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Therefore, a materialistic person works throughout the whole week very, very hard. He's always asking, where is money, where is money? Then at the end of the week, he wants to retire from his activities and go to some secluded place to rest. King Paranjana returned to his home because he was very much fatigued from hunting animals in the forest. In this way, his consciousness came to stop him from committing further sinful activities and make him return home. In Bhagavad Gita, materialistic persons are described as duskritana, which indicates that those who are always engaged, which indicates those who are always engaged in sinful activities. When a person comes to his senses and understands how he's engaged in sinful activities, he returns to his consciousness, which is here figuratively described as Alice. Generally, a materialistic person is affected by the material modes of passion ignorance. The results of passion ignorance are lust and greed. In the life of materialist, activity means working in lust and greed. However, when he comes to his senses, he wants to retire. According to Vedic civilization, such retirement is possibly recommended, and this portion of life is called vanaprastha. Retirement is absolutely necessary for a materialist who wants to be free from the activities of a sinful life. King Paranjana is coming home, taking bath, and having an appropriate dinner indicate that a materialist person must retire from sinful activities and become purified by accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about the values of life. If one would do this, he would feel completely refreshed, just as one feels after taking a bath. After receiving initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, one must abandon all kinds of sinful activities, namely the sex, intoxication, gambling, and the word uchitahara used in this verse is important. Uchita means appropriate. One must eat appropriately and not take food as hogs take after stool. For a human being, there are edibles described in Bhagavad Gita, sattvika ahara, or food in the mode of goodness. One should not indulge in eating food in the midst of, in the most passionate ignorance. This is called uchit ahara, or appropriate eating. One was always eating meat or drinking liquor, which is eating and drinking in the mode of passionate ignorance, must give these things up so that his real consciousness may be awakened. In this way, one may become peaceful and refreshed. If one is restless or fatigued, one cannot understand the signs of God. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Eva Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogada, Bhagavad Tattva, Jnana Mukta Samrasya. Unless one can become free from the influence of passion and ignorance, he cannot be pacified and will not be pacified, one cannot understand the signs of God. King Paranjana's returning home is indicated of a man returning to his original consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary for one who has committed a lot of sinful activities, especially killing animals or hunting a horse. After this, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body, put on flower garlands, and this way he became completely refreshed after this began to search out his queen. But when a man comes into good consciousness, accepts a saintly person as a spiritual master, he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations about great devotees, and transactions between God and his devotees. In this way, a man becomes refreshed in mind, exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and decorates himself with ornaments. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion in itself. Through such knowledge, one becomes attached to a materialistic way of life and bases himself in hearing, and always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures. The word sadhu halankrata used in this verse indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Thus, as King Paranjana began to search out his better half, including one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons, should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, Chittate Korya Aikya. If we want to become saintly persons, or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with sadhu, saintly person, shastra, authoritative literature, and guru, bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. Translation: after this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became free from all restlessness. After this, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. And after this, he began to search out his queen. So previously, it was described that Paranjana went to the forest and he killed a lot of animals, which was excessive, and therefore he committed sinful activities. And now these verses explain that he became tired of doing this, and therefore he went back home. So this is some sort of retirement from sinful life. Of course, we could also say it is a temporary situation, because you can go out again and then come back and get tired again and go out again. So it's not really a permanent solution. And of course we see that Paranjana doesn't really get liberated. He takes another body. So he gets some temporary realization or temporary relief from his sinful activities, which is symbolized by becoming tired of that activity of hunting and doing a sinful activity. And then he goes back to his house or his palace and takes a bath and takes a meal, ornaments himself very nicely. So in this way, a person gets tired of sinful activity and then practices dharma. He does some activities, religious activities. So this is, of course, preferable. It's better to do punya than papa, because the result is we don't have to suffer so much in the material world in the future. Still, this is not a real solution to the problem, because if we take another birth, and even the punyas will produce reactions in terms of karma. But for the common people, this is the type of activity recommended. It is better to do punya than paps, better to do dharma than adharma. So this, of course, is what the king teaches the people. So the Manu and his sons actually institute dharma as kings of the world. And they teach, don't do the sinful activity, engage in the pious activity, or dharma. And then there are rules in dharma that if you don't follow, then it is sinful. So not only committing sinful activity is sinful, but not following the punya itself is considered sinful. So in this way, people are encouraged to follow rules and regulations, etc., which help them control their senses. So that is the basic idea of dharma, to control the senses and encourage people to refrain from sinful activities and in this way gradually advance upward with the promise of enjoyment. So that is the level of Sakkama Karma Yoga. People are encouraged to enjoy because they want to, but by following certain rules and regulations. So these act as a restriction. Now the problem comes, as we see with Paranjana, that one can exploit those rules and go to excesses. So one can kill too many animals. So animals are permitted to be killed, like kshatriyas, and they're used in sacrifices. If one does this to extreme, then that is not considered proper. So the danger of all these different rules of shastra is that though they're meant as control, we can also find loopholes by which we can exploit the rules and indulge excessively in gratifying our senses. so that is the, let's say, the weakness of those that system. So one has to be very careful in following. If one follows properly, then the promise is one gets one's enjoyment. But there is a plan, because it is, this whole system is made by the Supreme Lord, there is a plan of purification in the whole process. Not just control your senses, but there is a gradual elevation through this following rules and regulations until one comes to Sattva-gun. So Prabhupada here has mentioned that normally people are in Rajagun and Tamagun, and they are afflicted by greed and lust and anger and other bad qualities. So to some degree, their desires have to be satisfied. So there are rules which allow some sort of self-gratification. When one comes to Sattva-gun, then this is minimized. So there are more rules for the Brahman. And so what the Kshatriya can do, the Brahman cannot do. He has to follow more rules. And what the Kshatriya can do, or what the Sudra can do, the Kshatriya cannot do. So more and more rules are imposed as one goes up the system. So the Brahmana has the most rules to follow. He's expected to be more qualified. So of course the quality of sattva is knowledge or prakasha and sukha, contentment. He is not attracted by all the different enjoyments of this material world. He's satisfied himself. So this is the natural quality of sattva-gun. And correspondingly we'll have the rules for eating corresponding to this. So we have sattvic food for the person in sattva-gun. It encourages sattva. So this type of food encourages sense control and knowledge. People in the lower modes are addicted to tamasic or rajasic food, and then consequently the modes are that are encouraged are lower. So to alter the consciousness, if one takes sattvic food, there's the opportunity to raise the consciousness. So if a person is in the lower modes, he's attracted to things in the lower modes, how does he get out of that position? So it's a gradual process in the Varnashram system. And therefore, for the people in the lower modes, there's not an insistence on sattvic food. So they don't have the same rules. But when one comes to Brahminical standard, then one must follow the sattvic food rule. Otherwise one will fall into lower modes. So as I said, there are stricter rules for those who are higher up in the system and lower rules for people in the lower modes. So for the Brahman, therefore, he is obliged to eat sattvic food rather than rajasic or tamasic food, whereas the others are not so much obliged. This is a way of guaranteeing the steadiness and sattva-gun for the Brahman. But as we know, sattva also has karma attached to it. So even sattvic food has karma. So the only food which is not contaminated by karma is food offered to the Lord, the remnants of yajna. So that is prasadam. So higher than sattvic food is prasadam. That is nirguna, and by taking that, one destroys the gunas. One destroys bondage of the material world completely. Therefore we have four levels of food. We have tamasic food, rajasic food, sattvic food, and nirguna food. The remnants of offerings to the Lord. So preferable is the sattvic food. So like bhakti, which though it is nirguna, spring, which can be performed by any person, any guna. So prasad also is available to everybody. Now, if one is doing jnana, only sattvic people can do jnana, and people in tamoguna rajaguna cannot. So technically only the Brahmins can study the Vedanta and practice jnana or yoga. But anyone can do bhakti, even though it is a superior process. So similarly, though generally only the Brahmins will eat sattvic food, and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishnavas and Sudras will eat tamasic food or whatever, and rajasic food, prasadam is available for everybody. It purifies everybody completely. So this is the nature of bhakti. It is available for all persons and all gunas, and it purifies everybody. So in Kali Yuga, the whole system of and rules of varnas is completely upset, and nobody's qualified for anything. So it is very difficult to institute qualifications for sattva, raja, tama, etc., and all those different rules. So that is why Krishna has recommended that simply you follow the process of bhakti, which everybody can do. It doesn't matter what gunas you're in, and if you're in varnashram or not in varnashram, you can follow the rules of bhakti. And similarly, you take prasadam. So this is an easier system to follow than going through the whole varnashram system and trying to institute all those rules and qualifications, etc. So that is why Krishna rejects everything else and simply says do bhakti at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. So that same conclusion is here in the Bhagavatam, though we find mention of the different varnas and ashrams, etc., and all that. Ultimately, more important than that is simply to follow the process of bhakti. And this will take care of all purification of a person beyond any of these other rules.
And do we see any now present circumstances? Can we find on earthly planets any person, any pure sattva guna, or no?
Well, there is no pure sattva guna in the material world. It's always mixed anyway. But by predominance, then a person will be sattvic. And if he is, and he's following certain rules, then he's called a brahmana. So, of course, it's possible, but Kali Yuga means the majority of the people are tamasic. But there may be a few who aren't by nature. Nevertheless, no matter what the gunas are in this age, it is still possible to overcome them, even if it is prominently tamasic. Still, it is possible to overcome them, so therefore the Lord has a process of Yuga Dharma to counteract the effects of Tama and Kali Yuga. Well, generally not. Of course, the statements in scripture are general. There may be some qualified Brahman somewhere, as I said, it's a general statement. And they may know all the rules and whatever of yogi, and they may do it. But it is not something which can be practiced regularly by all the people. Oh, for society. Well, yeah, the varnashram system is a social system and a political system of management. And that disintegrates in Kali Yuga. It's disintegrating, that we see, with the line of kings disappeared. It went on for a few generations after Krishna disappeared, and then gradually the line disappeared. And it is said, of course, that the remaining descendant is hiding up in the Himalayas, and that when Satyuga comes, then he will establish a new line. So technically that system is finished, because that depended upon a certain line of kings, and they're not here anymore. The remaining descendant is just hiding up in the Himalayas. So we can't hope for a real Varnashramic system now, because he's not going to come back until Satyuga again. So therefore we'll have some alternative systems of government or whatever. So one can take some of the good qualities or good points of that system and try to institute it. No, but it'll be very difficult to institute the whole system, because the population in general is not going to cooperate with it.
is this the reason why there is some component of monastic system which Prabhupada mentioned establishing monastic system, which is practically not being possible at a level?
Yeah, well, nobody really knows how to do that and what it means. Does it mean for devotees? Does it mean for the country or whatever? Because if you're doing it for the country, then you have to establish a monarchy, then you have no democracy, and this is not going to be very difficult to do in Kali Yuga, and then you have to have a dictator or whatever, you know, so. And then who's going to be the king, and, you know, who are you going to choose as the king? It's very difficult to figure out what that means, actually. And if you establish it among devotees, then at best it's a secondary thing, because the devotees don't really care about varnas and ashramas so much. So then how do you institute it for them? And you institute it on birth or not birth. And if you don't do it on birth, then who judges who's the Brahmin, who's the Kshatriya? So every time somebody's born, you've got to start, you know, designating him as a varna. So how to do that, you know, nobody really knows. So one can take, as I said, certain factors or certain principles there, which are, in any case, you know, okay to follow. But to institute a whole system may be very difficult.
And when we talk about kings, it is dynastical kings, or the kings which were there until 18th century also, we see the world was ruled by different kings.
Yeah, well, those don't come from Manu.
So we talk about only dynastical kings.
Yeah. Well, all the simple people are killed by Kalki. Then there's a little holiday, a little respite for some 100,000 years or something or whatever, maybe 10,000 years or something. And then Satyuga gradually begins, and you get Satya people being born.
मैं देखती हूँ तुम्हारे साथ जो संपादकी
जाए, आई गोल्ड कम्युनिटी